Robert Kraft's purchase of the Patriots in 1994 brought an end to a turbulent chapter in the history of the club. For the first time in 34 years, the team and the place they played were both owned by the same entity. The deal capped off the better part of a decade's effort for Kraft, but his job was far from done. His brand new team played in an outdated concrete slab that was built in 1970 on the cheap. And it wasn't aging well. 23 years earlier, Schaefer Stadium became the first permanent home for the franchise that had played home games at any venue that would have them. Fenway Park, Nickerson Field, Harvard Stadium, even Birmingham, Alabama had hosted Patriots home games. But for about the cost of Rob Gronkowski's salary cap number this year, an edifice rose in the fields of Foxborough that would be a serviceable, if uninspiring, home for the team the next three decades. So began the long, painful process of finding a modern facility for the local NFL team.
Today is a day of beginnings. The construction of the Bruins' new home, the Fleet Center, began in the spring of 1993. Over 8,000 tons of steel, and 2.5 years later, the building opens its doors to a new era in Bruins history, the Casper era.
That went round and round and round when we built the new North Station. That was a big battle as well.
Former Massachusetts Senate President Tom Birmingham knows how tough it is to get things done around here. A quick check of the archive shows that the fight to replace the old Boston Garden began back in the 1970s. It took a generation for the Jacobs family to realize their dream of a new arena on Causeway Street, built largely with their own money. While new stadia were popping up all over the country, financed with taxpayer dollars, the Krafts knew that model wouldn't work here. And to their credit, according to Birmingham, they never bothered to ask.
We limited our support to infrastructure, to roads, to sewers, to things of that sort. Unlike other jurisdictions, we were never entertained any possibility of building the stadium ourselves. Nobody even seriously pushed such an issue when Kraft was talking about getting support for his stadium. I think he understood that that would be a non-starter.
While the Krafts knew they'd have to foot the bill for the stadium, where it would go was still an open question. In 1995, a combined stadium and convention center, a megaplex, was proposed for downtown Boston. But that plan never made it out of committee in the House of Reps. A year later, the South Boston waterfront was floated, but that idea was shot down as well. And it became clear that if a new building was in the cards, it would be where the old one stood in Foxborough. Birmingham and the state senate offered their support, but not all on Beacon Hill were on the bandwagon.
I said, you're going to have to deal with the House. There's no question about it, because Speaker Finneran has very strong opinions about a lot of issues. And for whatever reason, one of his bete noires, one of his worst projects, was a sports project. It was an extreme reluctance to support the business of professional sports. And I didn't get it. I got that they shouldn't be treated specially. I got that they shouldn't expect us to build them a stadium or a new garden, as they do in other jurisdictions, which I think is a terrible use of public dollars. But providing support, like we do for other businesses, seemed to me perfectly natural. And for Finneran, it was always a big problem.
You have to remember, Tom Finneran, who was the Speaker of the House, now a convicted felon, he all but said, don't care if you're going to privately finance it, we are going to obstruct any opportunity to build a stadium. I mean, if go back and just look at the record. So at that point, if you want to stay in your home market, and the home region was New England, Hartford's in New England, you have to explore every opportunity. We had looked at Providence, Rhode Island as well.
The House Speaker's intransigence baffled Jonathan Kraft. It sparked a shotgun courtship between the team and the Connecticut Capitol, and resulted in an offer the Krafts couldn't refuse.
If we had taken that deal, it would have been one of the richest deals. The swing between us not taking that deal and building on our own in 2001 dollars was like $1.4 billion.
There was a clause in there that said the state of Connecticut, the government, had to guarantee effectively. It didn't say it like this, but the way the math worked, that every year they would have to do a backwards-looking true-up across the NFL. And so we were afraid Hartford couldn't compete against big cities. And practically, that math would have made us the highest revenue team each year. So that would mean, like, in a year like this, playing in Hartford in a 20-year-old stadium, we'd have to get as much revenue as the Dallas Cowboys are getting out of AT&T.
So from a financial point of view, there was no way, there was no risk to the family, and it would have been an unbelievable finish, guaranteed by the state of Connecticut.
Without a counteroffer from his home state, Robert Kraft reluctantly traveled to Hartford, and on November 18, 1998, signed an agreement to move his team there.
We're really, really excited with this move. I personally want to thank those people in this room who gave us such a warm welcome. It meant a great deal to me and my family.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mr. Kraft really seemed to emphasize what the warm welcome that he did have, especially with the governor. It seemed in some ways to allude to the relationship or lack of with Mr. Finneran, the House Speaker in Massachusetts. What was your feel on that?
Well, I'm not up to speed on all what's going on up in Massachusetts and Massachusetts politics, but obviously Mr. Kraft is from Massachusetts, so it has to hurt somewhat that he will be leaving the state. But he said if he didn't, if this deal did not come up with Hartford, that he was either going to have to sell the team, and a new owner most likely would move the team out of the region. So he's hoping that the folks up in Massachusetts will understand and will still support the team because they still will remain in the New England region, although here in Connecticut.
Do you feel you have the fan base here to support a team? Hartford had a hockey team that couldn't support. What makes you think that this...
Well, 40% of our current season ticket holders are non-Massachusetts residents. The bulk of them come from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Albany area. We now have over 10,000 people on our waiting list. Half of those people are non-Massachusetts residents. So we think there's tremendous support throughout the region for our team, and we haven't been able to satisfy the ticket demand.
The threat to move to Hartford was a serious one. I know that people have questioned, was this for real or not? It was for real. And I think that Kraft was basically driven to Hartford, not because he wanted to leave Massachusetts. I think it meant an awful lot to him personally to be in Massachusetts. That's where he grew up, and I think that's where he wanted to stay. But the House was just slamming the door in the face of the Krafts, and they had seemingly no option but to relocate to Hartford, which was not Kraft's first option. It wasn't something he wanted to do. He very much emotionally wanted to be in Massachusetts.
How close were the New England Patriots to moving to Hartford?
Well, you know, everything we said is instinct and gut. And whenever we go into a negotiation like that, we always have an exit clause. And what was in the contract is that by a certain date, we could pull out for any reason.
Save our pass! Save our pass!
I grew up going to the Patriots games. My dad had season tickets, and I want my children to have that opportunity.
Hundreds of diehard fans showed up to tell the lawmakers to keep the Pats here in the Bay State.
The threat to move to Hartford was a serious one.
Tom Birmingham was the president of the Massachusetts Senate, and he'd been front and center in the effort to keep the Patriots in the Boston area. That campaign appeared dead, though, following the signing of an agreement between the team and the city of Hartford in November of 1998 to move the franchise to Connecticut. Against long odds, Birmingham persisted, and on a crisp, clear morning in the spring of 1999, his craving for coffee may have saved the day.
I dropped off my daughter to visit a friend, and I just went to get a cup of coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts there. And who do I run into but Kraft?
We just saw each other. We were the only two people in there. He asked me about it, and, you know, was this a done deal?
I said to him, you're talking about going to Hartford. I said, you're already rich. You can still afford to be in Massachusetts, even if we don't give the exact same deal that Hartford's willing to give, even if we're not going to build you a stadium, as Hartford seemed prepared to do.
Was there any chance we'd be back? And I said, look, I really can't talk about this. And all I said to him is, if you want to talk to somebody about it as a concerned Massachusetts politician, I'd call the NFL, and I gave him the name of who we should talk to there, but that we couldn't talk to him about it.
I said, I think that, you know, for your own civic pride, it should be important to you to make this team work here in your own state of Massachusetts.
Meanwhile, a chance encounter in Washington, D.C. back in December had set a different train rolling on a parallel track. Former Democratic National Committee Chairman Paul Kirk.
Yeah, I chaired at that time, after I had chaired the Democratic Party, that is an Institute of International Affairs. And I was chairman. We had a big dinner, fundraising dinner, and Dan Rooney was there, and he effectively came up to me and said, Mr. Chairman, can you tell me how you can help keep the Patriots in Massachusetts? And I said, no, maybe you can tell me, and if you tell me, I'm in.
Rooney was the Steelers' owner, and he put Kirk together with NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. The league was concerned with abandoning the sixth largest TV market in the country, and Tagliabue asked for Kirk's help to keep that from happening.
He said, you know, if you can convene a number of civic leaders to brainstorm with us how we can get this done and then eventually how we can accomplish our mission on Beacon Hill, that'd be enormously important. I said, I'm in, whatever you need. And he said, I'm going to send, who was his number one at the time, Roger Goodell, to Boston. We met in my office. So this was like in February or so. And so we got a handful of well-known Bostonians, Father Moner, Boston College, now deceased, and also Bill Connell, who was a good friend and a good fan and a very generous philanthropist to a number of causes here. Tom May, Wayne Budd, who was a former U.S. attorney, Jack Connors. That was the team. Each in their own way had some respect and stature in the community, and then collectively that magnified, and I think that gave it the impression to those who were paying attention that this has a serious potential of success. And then the effectively, as a group, we were the liaison to Beacon Hill.
They called themselves Operation Team Back. They lobbied the business community while Birmingham continued to work the State House.
We were never going to consider building a stadium for the Crafts, as they have done in other jurisdictions, as I'm sure you know. From our perspective in the Senate, we treated it like any other business initiative that we would support collaterally but not do on our own. So we were prepared to support through different forms of infrastructure, improving the roads around the stadium, building sewers, that sort of thing.
They were clear to us that this was not going to be anything like Hartford money, that they would be prudent in terms of their responsibility to the taxpayers, and they weren't going to put a dollar into the stadium. But they would find a way to, between themselves, figure out how they could help on the access road to the stadium and do something in the terms of public infrastructure, which would be something that they're glad to do for an institution that brought great civic pride to the community, as sports does to the Boston area, and to do it in a responsible way.
Meanwhile, in Hartford, things were falling apart.
It may seem like the 11th hour, but once again, the battle over a home for the New England Patriots is shifting back to Massachusetts because the city of Hartford has only now started soil testing at its proposed stadium site on the downtown waterfront. A delay that could affect the construction timetable Patriots owner Bob Kraft is looking for.
You know, the governor there at that time, I had an uneasy feeling about him. We know we would have had a good financial deal there. It would have been first class, but it just didn't feel right.
So the question remains, can Bob Kraft be convinced to abandon Connecticut and its $380 million offer and return to still skeptical Massachusetts politicians? Of course, all this comes just a couple of weeks before a May 2nd deadline that would still allow Bob Kraft to walk away from the Connecticut deal if he wants to.
When we started failing to live up to our end of the obligations, Boston got a second wind.
Tom Ritter was the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. He and other Hartford proponents were suddenly playing defense as it became apparent that the relocation of an old steam plant on the proposed site of the new stadium wouldn't be done in time to satisfy the Crafts. There was a loose ball on the field, and Massachusetts jumped on it.
The issues between Birmingham and Finneran were basically on where any public money can go. They didn't want to put any public money in private property, so effectively they bought this access road, and it became then the property of the Commonwealth, which satisfied, I guess, the Speaker saying, I'll do infrastructure money as long as it's in a public outfit. So, you know, it was a pretty tricky negotiation to get what we needed for infrastructure money.
After months of squabbling, House Speaker Tom Finneran relented, and Beacon Hill sent forth a bill that the team could live with.
I believe my bill in 1997 that we passed was a $72 million bill. In 1999, when we passed the final bill, it was a $70 million bill, almost identical to what we had done 2 years earlier.
Patriots fans can celebrate tonight. There is no deal with the state of Connecticut. Just in the past hour, the team notified Connecticut Governor John Roland that it officially is terminating the deal signed last December to move the team to Hartford, Connecticut.
Personally, for you at the end, how satisfying was it to have it go the way that it ended up? And now that we're two decades removed, do you look back on it and feel proud to have been a part of that process?
Yeah, I think the answer, of course, is yes. We have to think about this is one of the great sports areas in the United States of America. And to look back and to think that that franchise stayed with its home base and its fan base, and after all these years and all the success that the Patriots have had and how Patriots Nation is competitive with Red Sox Nation wherever you go. And the second thing is, when I think of the philanthropic contributions of the Kraft family to so many institutions and their generosity and the fact that they're here and consider it their home and continue to contribute, that's something else that's very important to the story. So in terms of my own personal satisfaction, you look back on things that you may have done in life, and this is one that goes right up there.
Kirk's team came through for the Commonwealth. All it took was a little coffee to grease the machinery.
When they first went to Hartford, I thought the game might be over. But after I talked to Jonathan that day, I saw we had an opportunity. The Crafts, father and son, in their heart of heart, they really wanted to stay in Massachusetts. And they were willing to accept a less lucrative deal in Massachusetts than they could have gotten in Hartford. And so it's not just rhetoric. Their actions really demonstrate how much they wanted to stay in Massachusetts, because most businessmen are going to take the best bottom line deal they can get. And they'll particularly care whether it's Massachusetts or Connecticut. But in this instance, the Crafts wanted to be in Massachusetts enough that they're willing to make financial sacrifices to stay here.
Next time on Kraftwerk, the Crafts' relationship with their franchise quarterback. No. The other one.
Bledsoe, he drops straight back to throw. Pump fakes, going for the whole thing. His man is open. Timpson, touchdown. Patriots win.
Drew really carried us right until the Belichick-Brady era.
The Patriots win in overtime on Bledsoe's fourth touchdown pass of the game.